I feel like Yellowstone, Taylor Sheridan, and the whole creative team learned nothing from how they killed off John Dutton, Kevin Costner's character.
Hello, Addison!
That was extra long. I think it's been too long and you needed that out of your system.
I've been pent up a little bit, I guess. And the chat has as well. We got a really robust chat already here. All the Chad's in, Johnny. I see James has checked in. A couple of the others we can count on. It's so good to hear from everybody once again.
You know what I realized is on brand is I'm holding, it's from his publicity team, a Riley Green Yeti. It's from his song Don't Mind If I Do. I mean, he's not on this episode, but it feels kind of fitting that I'm drinking out of the Yeti and, you know, he's on the show. That's all.
Let's talk more about Riley Green because I'm excited to see where that character goes.
I don't think he is going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be on for a few episodes. And then do you think he's going to stay on?
You don't think he's going to be season to season?
Well, isn't how he's listed is guest appearance? Right?
Maybe. You could be right. You could be
so
right.
So that's why I think that he's not going to have this really long. It's not going to be necessarily Lainey Wilson, where Lainey Wilson was like a true cast member pivotal. But he might be there for, you know, 3 or 4 episodes.
Pivotal is overselling it, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get on with the show here.
Let's start by going over what is the poll question that you had fired up this week?
This week's poll question, we asked this online in the chat, but you can also find it on the Taste of Country YouTube page. And it was a simple one that we're going to answer here in just a second. Rate episode 1 of Marshalls. And we gave 4 options, a solid 10, a 7, a 4, or 1. And we'll go over those results here before the end of the episode.
And then also at the end of the episode, you are going to share the trivia question. Or are we actually going to share it right now?
Nope. Next, we're going to do it at the end. A great trivia question this week for one of those Dutton Rules t-shirts from the Taste of Country store. Gosh, I'm so excited about this one.
That means that I probably won't know it.
Oh, also coming up towards the end, Teeter from Yellowstone is a very, very steamy new television role that I'm excited about. One that I think you in particular are going to enjoy.
I don't know. You've left me a little speechless. I'm like, are you saying I like to watch steamy television shows? Or like...
It's a more female-friendly show.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, Jen Landon, not Teeter. Teeter herself is RIP in the Yellowstone universe, as far as we know, anyway.
Okay. Let's talk about episode 1. Of Marshalls. We're digging right in. No small talk. We did kind of small talk, but you get the point.
Here's where I'd like to begin, Addison. On the count of 3, I want us each to give our rating on the 1 to 10 scale. And let's rate this against like your standard episode 1 of a new show, right? So like, this isn't like, 10 isn't like the best show you've ever seen. 10 is like the best premiere you've ever seen. All right. So on a count of 3, you ready? And we'll go 1, 2, 3, number. All right, great. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 8. Okay, we're close. Okay.
That's not as... I thought you were going to give it actually a 10, so...
Ah, it wasn't that great, but I thought you were going to give it like a 3 or a 4 based on the way you were talking earlier today. Why a 6 for you?
Because it gave me very much so like... I was expecting a very similar setup from Yellowstone, and this gave me the vibes of like NCIS or 911 Miami, where each episode they're going to be solving a new problem. Or I don't know, it just gave me that type of vibe where I was like, oh, I don't want that necessarily. And I could be, we could come next episode. And like you said, we're only 1 episode in. I could eat every single word that I'm saying right now. And episode 2, I might realize, oh, wait, no. I'm wrong.
Well, it's a procedural. I think that's exactly how it was described. Procedurals is a new episode, a new plot every week, and then there's kind of a loose thread that attaches the different episodes. So it is going to be more like a CSI or a Blue Bloods or those kind of shows. Well, now, okay, so now to your point here, I do think those kinds of shows for in the long haul aren't as satisfying as shows that are 8 or 10 intense episodes. And I think for that reason, we're not going to go week to week on Marshall's here. Or maybe we'll swing back in and around as we cover some of these other Taylor Sheridan shows, including another one that's starting up in a couple of weeks. But I thought for episode one, sometimes first episodes are just clumsy. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It feels like gears mashing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to do a lot of things, right? It's trying to build chemistry. You're trying to introduce these new characters. In the case of Yellowstone, you're kind of trying to remind us where Yellowstone left off and why Casey's at East Camp. So there was a lot to accomplish in like 40 minutes of TV time. I thought the show did a pretty good job of that without sort of mashing gears.
I do agree with that. I feel like you could have entered into the Marshalls and not have needed too much of a prereq of what had previously happened, you know? Like even when the new Marshalls were coming in and that scene where they were on horseback and they actually kind of explained like, you know, Casey sold or gave his land to Rainwater in them. And anyways, I feel like they did a good job of bridging the gap a little bit if you were paying attention.
Yeah, I agree. You didn't. And I thought early on that the show's goal was going to be to get us to forget this is a Yellowstone spinoff by the end of season one. I'm not so convinced about that now. And I'll share more why as we get to start to talk about episode two, which is coming up. But I think that Yellowstone thread, which means maybe some of those old characters, some of those maybe cowboy bunkhouse characters could kind of weave in and out of the show. That'd be kind of, you wouldn't go for a Lloyd appearance, a Lloyd cameo?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it. Absolutely not. Do you think we're going to see Abby? Abby and Garrett, who's going to be played by Riley Green on the same TV screen? That's a...
I don't think we'll see Abby, but maybe like Jake. I'll go for a Jake.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
Could you name Jake out of a lineup, pull Jake out of a lineup, a police lineup? I could not. I could not pull Jake out of a police.
Well, are there any pivotal points? I mean, I think we should start off with the very obvious of who did not come back this season. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Monica.
I'm trying to look at my notes of what I said when I was... Oh, I think the show did her a disservice.
Oh, I think the character, I 100% agree with that. Go on.
I'm like, we left the finale of Yellowstone not having any indicators of that she would even remotely die. Like, okay, if you're going to kill her off in Marshall's, go ahead. And at the season finale, maybe let us, they should have tied the bow there. And who knows? I don't understand why they killed her off. I think what's going to be lacking in this show is I think she could have really brought the more lifestyle side and like romantic side to Casey. And who knows, maybe he finds another woman at the end of all this. Like I can't speak to, you know, the future, but I think she would have brought a softer side to Marshall's, and I don't understand. And now we're just stuck with Casey and Tate.
I feel like Yellowstone, Taylor Sheridan, and the whole creative team learned nothing from how they killed off John Dutton, Kevin Costner's character.
Yeah.
Like that was the biggest insult. But at the time, it was a little bit understood, right? Because Kevin Costner had this contractual dispute. They were head-to-head with Paramount. They didn't have Kevin Costner. He was not an option. And I know there's articles out there that say that Kelsey Asbell was unavailable for this show. Listen, put a little money in front of her. You tell her you want her, she's going to be suddenly become available, right? Like, don't give me this I'm unavailable because I'm now making these sort of art house movies kind of spiel there.
Like, right.
Another off-screen death in the Yellowstone franchise. And it didn't have to be that way. Like, their explanation was that there was no other way to get Casey onto the Marshalls. He had to have a major life event that changed his mind and his perspective on the badge. And at first I thought to myself, okay, that's true. I can't really think of one. And then I spent another 20 cents thinking, and I thought of one. I thought of a pretty good one. You want to hear my alternate plot for Marshalls and how this goes?
Okay. Yeah, hit me.
All right, here we go. Episode one, Casey's being courted by the Marshalls while he's living his life happily with Monica and Tate, right? Whole first season is him maybe doing side jobs and one-offs with the Marshals, kind of like he did in episode one. They're just sort of intertwined a little bit because this new crime spree is really hitting the reservation hard. Mm-hmm. He continues to be tormented. What should I do? What should I do? And then all of a sudden, this crime hits home. Boom. Monica death episode. On screen, end of season one. Cliffhanger, right? Everybody's talking about the death on Marshalls. We come back season two. He's got the badge. Didn't have to rush into the Marshalls is all I'm saying. Like we could have gone that way. And there's other ways to do it. I feel like they missed an opportunity there. And I think that's my biggest gripe. I thought the first episode was very good, but I thought it was a bit of a slap in the face to longtime fans. Because we put through some crap with Monica, right? She wasn't always a good character. Sometimes she was annoying. Sometimes the acting was bad. And then it got really good. And she was like the heart of this show. When it needed heart, it was really abrasive. And we stuck through that. And then they're just like, eh, that girl's gone. Bye. We don't know her name anymore. It's like, are you kidding me?
It felt rushed. And I don't know if it's because Taylor Sheridan, he's moving to CBS. And so, right? Yeah, it's CBS.
He's moving to NBC, but that's not for a few more years. I don't feel like that should have any impact on it.
Hmm. Chad says, Billy Sheridan Dukes. <That's> funny. Pretty close. Fair. Pretty close, Chad. Except they're paying him the big bucks.
You know, my email address, staff@tasteofcountry.com, Taylor, if you need a little help on the next episodes here. I guess I won't look too hard. Did you get the feeling that about 1 year had passed between Yellowstone and Marshalls?
Why do you feel that way?
Well, it certainly seemed like some time had passed, right? Like Casey wasn't like in the middle of grief. Mm-hmm. And like when they showed her tombstone, it was overgrown a little bit with some flowers. It wasn't just like fresh, smooth dirt.
Right.
And so you got to figure she was diagnosed with cancer. She battled cancer. They had some death and some grief and then some other things. Like, so I felt like a year-ish minimum would be about the proper time frame.
And Tate didn't feel that significantly older. I feel like Tate's always kind of the tent pole to time.
I know, but that's a little bit of a tricky thing because here I'm going to show you a little Tate montage of pictures. And we're going to get to this a little bit later, but I'll hit it now. This is Breck and Merrill through the years here. If you could.
U.S. Marshal.
Oh, that ain't it. Here we go. Like, Breck and Merrill through the years. You have little Tate here. Stop. Right? This is Yellowstone. Yes, so here you look. He's giving off good, nice young boy vibes. And now this is Breck and Merrill in 2026. And I'm not going to say anything about Breck and Merrill because he's a teenager going through teenager stuff, but I am going to criticize those jeans.
He's trying to be swaggy, but then he put a tie with it. So I'm kind of confused. Kind of confused that outfit choice. But look, my brothers also went through a phase where my mom was terrified if this was going to stick, and it didn't. They turned out normal, you know? Not saying that Breck and Merrill's not normal. I'm just saying we all go through a fashion phase.
My oldest son is currently going through a phase where he will only wear jeans from the buckle.
Oh, the buckle's still
and
around?
As a result, he has two pairs of pants that he wears.
If it makes you feel any better, I only wore Hollister. It was like low rise or whatever he used to be in. And my mom was like, fine, if you're going to choose Hollister that at the time was like really expensive, she's like, you can have two pairs of pants. And so I was rocking two pairs of pants. I'm like your son, all that to be said.
Let's back up a little bit in the episode and kind of set up how we got here. The episode starts with Casey in a dream sequence and he wakes up and then we see him solo in the Dutton bed. And then pretty quickly his buddy Cal visits, dropping off some supplies that Casey asked to get them. And these are some things that apparently are a little bit illegal. Did you understand at first what Cal brought Casey?
No, it just looked like a box of, I honestly thought at first it was just memorabilia that he had, left at his buddy's house that he needed back, like a breakup.
Here, watch closely here and maybe see if you can figure out what Cal brought Casey Dutton.
My life's been kill or be killed for too long, man.
Okay. Fair enough.
You see those things on the trees?
Yeah, aren't those cameras?
No, they're bombs. They're explosives. That's how he's cut clearing the land. Is
Wait,
he's putting explosives
funny.
On his trees and shit.
That's funny. I told you those were cameras that he was just shooting. That's funny. That's very Duck Dynasty of them.
It is a little bit Duck Dynasty. It's very redneck.
Very redneck.
Yeah. That was a good joke that I felt they needed to linger on a little bit longer.
Well, let's kind of walk through all the new characters, aka Casey's teammates.
Okay. So the most interesting one to me, well, we'll get to her last. We have Cal, who we just showed there, correct? He is the leader of the Marshals. We have Belle, who is kind of a little bit of a unknown quantity, or she's kind of a bit of a mystery woman. On the team, very capable, though. It turns out Casey actually recognizes her from, she's from Montana. Her family ran some cutting horses, and she doesn't want the rest of the team to know that. There's Miles, who lived on the reservation, is very familiar with the Duttons. He's kind of like the local energy and a great connection to the tribe. And then there is Cruz, who I don't believe it as strongly, but I believe Cruz is very flirty with Casey. Watch here.
No. But I dig his hat.
I'm okay.
Dad told me never trust a cop who won't drink with you. Same logic applies to cowboys.
Dad's a cop? You joined the Marshals to impress him or defy him?
Avenge him. Thank you for that glimpse into your psych, Jocko.
It's the dancing for me. The little flirty looks, the teasing. And she's like, hey, watch my backside as I shake it. Am I wrong?
Statement I was not planning to come out of your mouth. You're not. I did kind of think when I was watching that, I was like, oh, I wonder if they're setting us up for a potential romance.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I feel, but we'll circle back to that if that becomes something. Wait, did you talk about Ariel?
Ariel is the actor who plays Belle, yeah.
Oh,
Belle
I wrote that
the
down.
Character.
Yeah, you're right. I wrote it down incorrectly. You know how I know her, and I got so excited when I saw her on my screen.
Hit me.
Aquamarine. Anyone? No. Okay. It was, I watched it in high school. It's a cute little teen movie love rom-com. So good. She does play the arch nemesis, though, so she's not really my favorite character in Aquamarine, but big fan, girl. Big fan.
What channel was this on?
It's a movie.
Oh, it's a movie. Oh,
it's a movie.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, nice.
No, I'm not familiar with Aquamarine. She's been in a number of things. Logan Marshall Green, who plays Cal, has been in a number of things. He's worked quite a bit. There
nice
we are.
With,
is that her?
No, she's not in any of these photos. But it's with Emma Roberts, Sarah Paxton, and JoJo. Anyone remember JoJo? Probably not. Billy doesn't.
That's actually
but...
one. Funny you mentioned Sarah Paxton because her name came up. Anyways, the other main character is Gifford, who's like the keeper, the boss of the Marshals.
Yes,
I guess you know he's just like your straight out of Central Casting, like cantankerous old white guy who's in charge of like the law enforcement team. I feel like that's like a mandatory role on a CBS procedural. We had one in Seals. We had one in Blue Bloods. Every show has one of those. He's been in a number of things as well. He was also on Lost for a number of years, played Goodwin on Lost, if you remember that kind of smaller character. But he's been in a lot of shows for a good 30, 40 years now.
Can we talk about Breck and Merrill?
I know you have some things you want to say about Breck and Merrill. Can I show the scene first real quick?
Okay.
Because this kind of speaks to the plot of the show. And this is how we end up finding actually how Monica died. It's kind of teased that she died, and we figure out she's gone early in the episode. But it's not till the protest on the reservation over the mine that's going in, where people are bringing up pictures of loved ones they have that have died or been affected by cancer from the mine, that we learn Brecken, that we learn Monica Dutton's true cause of death. Here it is.
U.S. Marshal, what are you doing?
Just helping out Cal. You need to go home, buddy.
What? I need to be here.
This rally could get violent.
Since when are you concerned about me being exposed to violence?
Since everything we've been through. Go home.
After how much Mom suffered, you should be leading the charge here, not waving the white flag.
Cancer. Stomach cancer, someone suggested. I don't remember them saying that, but cancer is what killed Monica Dutton. And it must have taken her pretty quick, right? If only a year's passed.
Yeah.
It must have been a pretty short spell of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here for that father-son relationship?
It's clunky. And I hope that with time, maybe that is part of this, like the consistent, you know, like we were saying, every episode is kind of different. But maybe that's the baseline that we'll get to see more growth in, is their relationship forming post-mom and Monica's death.
I'm not sure I really understand what Tate's role is going to be throughout the show, like, and how he'll have a heavy presence episode to episode. Nor do I think I want a heavy Tate presence in the show episode to episode.
I mean this nicely. And I also say this, I am not an actress, and I'm sure if you put me in front of a camera to act, I would be in the hot seat and people would be like, get this girl off the camera, off the screen. But it is a little painful to watch Brecken Merrill act. It doesn't necessarily feel to the level of what Yellowstone and Taylor Sheridan's franchises are. And I think because we started with him so young, he wouldn't be cast in that role today. He's in that role because he started so young. And I don't fault him. I don't fault him for it. I am surprised that the show hasn't, and they may have. I don't know the ins and outs here. I'm just surprised that they haven't gotten him an acting coach to kind of refine things a little bit more. It feels clunky. It feels not as extreme of when Carrie Underwood was in Soul Surfer, but it reminds me a little bit of like almost, sorry, almost a celebrity trying to become an actor. Those are really some hot takes, but.
What I feel that he needs is some other kinds of roles that can kind of inform this role. In this character, because he's only really ever played one thing extensively. I think he's had a few other small parts. But he needs a little bit more variety. He needs to kind of some other sort of experiences to inform this character. And James on the chat says Tate's going to be used sparingly. I think that's probably true. Mm-hmm. I promise at some point Tate's going to get kidnapped, because that seems to happen in every CBS procedural. And the crime's going to come center back on him in some capacity, probably by the end of season one. But after that, you know, he might be go off to college soon. So there might be an exit. If things aren't working out, they could send him off to college like they did that one boy on Blue Bloods, the older son.
Hopefully he gets better with time.
The rest of the episode, I mean, they kind of just went through their mission, right? Mm-hmm. They had to figure out who bombed the mine. They track that down without too much difficulty. And then things kind of circle back, and Casey's eventually convinced to join the Marshals full time. And then we get this scene where he's kind of making things right with Monica.
Like I did before, because I ain't afraid of ghosts no more.
I miss you, baby. Miss my wife. My best friend. My only friend.
That was a touching scene. Did you know that song, or can you identify the singer or the name of that song?
Mm-mm, but I'm sure you can.
Well, you're looking at him right now. Luke Grimes is his name. And the song is called Haunted. Yeah, you got the end credit song there, or the ending scene song for episode one of Marshals. And he's got an album coming out, what, April?
I think so.
Yeah. We're working pretty hard to get Luke Grimes in for an interview. If so, if anybody from his team is watching, just saying, you know.
Please respond to my email.
Yeah, you know, hit us back. Kind of ghosted us a little bit.
We don't buy, we promise.
Chad makes a good point here. This is interesting that I want to mention before we move on real quick. Chad says Casey told Tate he was not tied to the ranch. He could go off and do his own thing. So maybe he does leave. Could be.
Could be.
Could be. Yeah. I think that's fair. Good point, Chad.
I recorded the episode, and so it didn't give me the episode 2 preview. It just cut off at the very end. So what do we have to expect come episode 2?
I don't know that there's an actual video preview like we're used to having, because I was the same. I watched it on a streaming service, and I didn't get that. I watched it on Paramount Plus. I didn't get that same feel. But episode 2, and I'm going to share some pictures of episode 2, kind of why I talk here. As soon as I can find the picture. All right, episode 2 is called Zone of Death. And the description goes, as Casey tries to embrace his new beginning, a marshal's op to stop a domestic terror attack lands him in a valley of buried Dutton family skeletons. While confronting his past, he must also learn to ingratiate himself with his new marshal teammates.
It's like your professional voice.
The train station does back is what they're referring to, which I think this is why I think the show is actively going to make that connection back to Yellowstone, where I thought maybe not so much. Because they're episode 2, we're going right back into the train station, which is the zone of death.
Which that will be fun. Also, I'm actually thoroughly impressed with Breckman Merrill's hair. Did you see that campfire scene? That boy's got a head of hair. Good for you.
It takes a lot more than that to impress me with hair. I'm just going to say Addison. So.
Billy has, for those who are only listening on audio, Billy has quite the man bun. And oh, you got a little bob going on. You and Sadie Robertson.
Well, it's kind of behind my headphones. That's why. But yeah, it is kind of cute today.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com, while the people watching on video can admire Billy's hair, is where you can leave. I want to know what y'all thought of episode 1 of Marshalls, and if you're staying tuned for episode 2. When are we going to get Riley Handsome Green on this television show?
I'm guessing episode 2 or 3. That's just a guess, though.
He wasn't in the preview photos.
Country singer Riley Green he's confirmed to be a character named Garrett on season 2. And all we know so far is that he plays guitar and looks handsome. We don't know what his job is or what he does there, but he probably dates someone, right?
But isn't he a former SEAL buddy of his?
Is he?
I think so, of Casey's. If I remember writing that script correctly.
What do you think the odds are of Riley Green being shirtless at some point during his episode?
Oh, Lord, let's hope high.
I think they're very high.
If they know what they're doing, they're high. Like if we got Brendan Sklinner in 1923 shirtless, I think we'll get a Riley Green shirtless.
This is an interesting question from Big Joe. Do we think Jamie's body will be found?
That didn't go through my head.
This is why it's interesting, because Jamie was referred to as missing during this first episode of Marshalls. Right?
I'm sorry.
So maybe that's planting a little bit of a seed there. And that could be what happens here. Ooh, man, that's pretty good.
That would be epic. I'm going to be honest. That would be epic. I'm trying to see who Riley Green plays. I'm pretty sure it is the SEALs.
Okay, good question.
I'm watching. If you guys haven't seen our reel that we made on Taste of Country's Instagram, go look at it.
We have descriptions for episode 3 and 4 out as well. That's probably getting a little bit ahead of things right now. I am excited to see this return to the train station, which is the Zone of Death. A little bit of an interesting logistical leap they're making here, because the Zone of Death is a real place that's up kind of in Idaho-ish area. And the train station is always believed down towards Wyoming, so they're kind of moving it, playing with it. I don't know. That's kind of interesting to me, but that's just probably me nerding out on little tiny details like I'm prone to do.
I was literally about to say, I think you're the only person who's going to notice that. Like, if I watched it, I probably wouldn't notice.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Oh, we got one more thing to talk about.
The wolf.
I know you wanted to talk about the wolf. At the very end, early in the episode, Casey puts the wolf in his sights and does not pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the very end, we get this.
Till I'm on the other side, I'm afraid of ghosts no more. No, I ain't afraid of ghosts no more.
I think that's a very telling song to be playing, I Ain't Afraid of Ghosts No More. And I felt like that was kind of symbolic of Casey leaving a lot of things in the past.
I thought so as well. I think that's what we're supposed to take away from that. So someone asked, did he shoot the wolf? I do think he shoots the wolf, which I think is just kind of awful, to be honest. But it's maybe symbolic of an angrier Casey as well. Mm. A little bit more of a chip on his shoulder, some scars that are hardening his heart a little bit. I'd be okay if there's a little bit more of that darkness on this series to kind of set it apart so it's not the equivalent of like a family dinner at the end of every episode. Pardon?
I like a...
You can't whisper. This is a podcast, Addison.
I like a family dinner. Hey, I like a family dinner. I like a family dinner. And you know what? That's why I think I'm going to like The Madison. I am pumped for The Madison.
2 weeks away, March 15th, The Madison with Kurt Russell and Michelle Pfeiffer and Matthew Fox. I am also very excited about it, but I think it's going to be a show more in your wheelhouse than mine. I like a little more action. I think this is going to be a little bit more of emotional torment. I do think it has the potential to be the most interesting and maybe even the best of Taylor Sheridan's shows. The cast is there. It's not boiled down to just this violence. Like, I think it's more of a thinking man's kind of show is kind of what I'm getting from it. Yeah.
Ooh, I like, real quick, I like Andre's two cents of saying maybe he thinks he sees a wolf, so he shoots an imaginary wolf.
Oh, yeah. The wolf's not there?
Yeah, okay. The wolf's not there.
All right, we'll go with that. That makes me feel a little bit better about Casey being an animal killer. All right, so this is what we're doing from a podcast standpoint. Next week, we're going to preview The Madison, everything we know. It might be a little bit of a shorter podcast. And then the following Tuesday, we'll be right back in with episode one of The Madison, and we'll break that down. So we're going to be a Madison-focused podcast, I think, from here on out. I'm going to continue to watch Marshalls as best as I can. And I think over time, we'll probably slip off a little bit. Maybe I can get through this first season or so. Unless it's really good. You know, if the conversation is really there and it becomes this hit show, we'll stick with it. But if it just becomes another CBS procedural, we'll probably fade away. But I am really good. I'm curious to know, too, if you're watching on the stream, level of excitement for The Madison on a 1 to 10. Are we super pumped like Addison or more like me? I'm like a 7 or 8, 6 or 7. Or are you like,
don't do I'm it. Pumped. I'm going to do it. you have some news. I have some news. Miss Allie Larder from Landman recently just turned 50. And at 50 years old, she has the body I want as a 30-year-old. I'm like, pop off, queen. She looks great. She is fitter than I am.
I did not grab that photo as an asset for this video. I didn't want to get demonetized, but it's a sexy picture.
She looks
like really good for 50.
I'm like, she looks tiny healthy.
Little white bikini.
She. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
what she's wearing.
No, I know. But like the things that you and I fixated on are so not the same. I'm like, she's strong. She's healthy. Billy, that white little bikini. That's why I'm giggling. I'm like, tell me that we fixated on two separate things.
I would guess the majority of people didn't look at that photo and go, wow, great biceps. Good skin tone.
That's exactly. I was like, how does she have great skin elasticity? Tell me what you're doing, girl. I want to start all the things now.
Sam Elliott also walking some red carpets with his wife. They've been married for some 40 odd years and looking pretty good himself. I do say so. That's Catherine Ross. They were at the Actors Awards of some sort. So it's good to see Sam as they get ready to film season 3. Of Landman. And then one other note about a Taylor Sheridan show, Tulsa King has been, get this, Taylor Sheridan has renamed a show. That never happens. Tulsa King is now going to be called Frisco King. And do you want to guess why it's called Frisco King?
Because it's in Frisco, Texas?
Because it's in Frisco, Texas, Addison.
Wow, it's like that Frisco, was not Texas. Obvious.
The home of Dude Perfect, the Dallas Cowboys training facility, and until this year, the ACM Awards. I think those are the three things. There's a university too there too, isn't there?
No. TCU is in Fort Worth. I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think there is. SMU, DBU, all those are in the heart of Dallas.
Well, we got Frisco King now. That's the name of that show. So those are just sort of odds and ends, things we've been holding on to for the last couple of weeks. In a second here, I'll share that great Jen Landon, her steamy new show, Teeter from Yellowstone. We'll get to that in a moment.
But first, we're going to get to some Q&A. Mo on YouTube says, watch the entire Yellowstone series and spinoffs, but I refuse to watch this wokeified BS TV version of a show that deletes half of the original storyline, including the wife, Monica.
Do you think this show is wokeified?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I would need personally examples of how this is wokeified, because I'm like, I really don't think we touch anything that would be that. I don't understand that one.
There are some people on the YouTube comments especially who kind of theorize about Taylor Sheridan's politics. If Taylor Sheridan is woke, I'd be shocked. You know, if he's a strong liberal, I'd be really, really surprised. Like, everything about him screams more conservative values, leans more towards the right. I don't think there's anything about any of these shows that have been wokeified.
Mm-mm.
But if you see something, if someone sees something, feel free. I mean, let me know. But I guess I just heard disagreement.
I would want like some actual, like some genuine, like tangible examples of like here in episode, whatever, this is what was going down to be able to like understand. Lane on Facebook says, without Monica, Casey feels a bit hollow and cliche. The brooding hero that has lost everything and still manages to thrive is a very common trope. Even the first episode was characterized as meh by a few individuals who found it a bit cheesy.
Fair, I think. Like, maybe it was a little meh, a little cheesy, but it was the first episode. Those tends to be a little bit less than because they're trying to do so much. I'm going to give it time before I assess Casey's character and how I like him. Like, he does have to find a new layer of depth, I think, because he's kind of lost that side of himself. So what's going to replace that? If it's not another love interest, which seems most likely, what is it going to be?
And two, let's not forget, a lot of people for a while, it's kind of funny. Everyone now is like, we love Monica. But let's not forget those same people were going, we hate Monica during Yellowstone. I'm just saying.
No, there has definitely been a turn of face, about face with some people. All of a sudden, those people who hated her are done a full 180.
Then the last one is from Andre, who says, Teeter should have a podcast, audio only, going to be on Grey's Anatomy. Oh, wait.
Well, you weren't supposed to get that last part. Sorry, I included my notes there. Teeter should have an audio podcast. Tell me you wouldn't listen to a Teeter podcast. Her talking as a Teeter.
Billy, I mean this again. Nicely. Hell no.
No, you're not in. All right.
So frustrated.
Okay. Fair enough. And I kind of spoiled my tease there, but Teeter, Jen Landon, has just signed on to a new show. And this is one, Addison, I think you are going to like quite a bit.
Hey, I'm Jen Landon. I play Dr. Tony Wright, or I will be playing Dr. Tony Wright. And I really can't say much, but I am a plastics doctor, or what I would call a plastic surgeon. And I am here to do surgery and to maybe get a little romantic. Steamy. Maybe.
Jen Landon, the official character description, through particular and precise in an operating room, Tony possesses a magnetic zest for life and exudes warmth with her patients and her students. Outside of work, she's a charming and disorganized mess who says yes more than no.
Aren't we all?
Are you a Grey's Anatomy fan?
I never watched it fully through, and the fact that it is still going on is mind-blowing to me, but I might watch it.
I'm going to see the cast getting gigs because not everybody that involved with that show has gotten a lot of work since. I haven't seen too much from Ian Bowen out there.
Lloyd,
I don't know what Lloyd's doing. He got pretty drunk on an airplane once and started spouting off at a lady in a mask. That was kind of his greatest hit.
I remember that.
Lloyd's got to end up on the Dutton Ranch show, though, don't you think? Like, he's got to end back up with Rip somehow. He's almost like a puppy dog. Rip's just got to take him in until he dies.
Maybe. Well, that was so sad. I guess, yeah, maybe. I don't feel as convicted on that one.
Fair enough.
Anything else you got before I say adios?
No, we got a little trivia.
Sorry, and a poll.
Quick poll recap. Rate episode one of Marshall's. It's a tie. 40% of people either loved it, 10, or gave it a solid 7. So that's 80% of the collective. Only 4% said it was awful. And 16% said it was about a 4 on a 1 to 10 scale.
What is this week's trivia?
Trivia is for a Dutton Rules t-shirt. You can find them at the Taste of Country store. They come in many colors. You can get your selection. We'll send that to you, just like so many of the listeners. I'd love if anybody has a picture of themselves wearing the Dutton Rules t-shirt to send that to staff at tasteofcountry.com. And what we do is we take one correct answer from all correct answers either emailed to us or dropped in the comment section of the video, not just the chat, but the comment section. And this week's trivia question is, when Casey first meets Belle, he says she looks familiar. That may be a subtle nod to the famous movie that these two actors worked on together in 2018. What is that movie called? You're going to get a real, I'll give you this clue. You're going to get a character check. Like, the people who know this movie and don't know this movie are two very different types of people. And you're going to find out who's who. So we know which side you're on. And I also did not know until I did some research. But the people that you did know, you're going to be like, I might have said too much.
I don't know. But on that note, staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave that, as well as the YouTube video form of this in the comments. Staff at tasteofcountry.com. We're back, baby. It's kind of how I want to end things, but I'll do a formal closeout if you're ready.
No, you've got to talk about these things ahead of time. You can't just throw a new ending out there 45 minutes into the podcast and just stop. Like, I'm just going to be sitting here smiling like an idiot for 3 minutes. Come on, do the normal thing.
All right, y'all. Well, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone Taylor. Wait, what are we? We're Yellowstone Franchise Podcast. Yellowstone Franchise. Okay, I'm locked in, everyone. The Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another Shake It For Me Town Square Media
Pod. Quick cue. What are the previous Shake It For Me Town Square Media Pods? I'd like to check some of those out. Are they on video? Is Allie Larder involved?
I'm crying. It's just the first thing that came to my head.
I like it.